Everybody's talking about the Kings here, heading down the stretch, 7 games to go. Everybody's talking about the Sacramento A's.
Yeah.
You may know as soon as tomorrow whether the A's are coming to Sacramento for 3 years. It's an exciting time, no matter how you feel about all that. An exciting time to be a sports fan here in the River City, Kyle Draper.
Yeah, exactly, man. And I tell you, this A's news can change the landscape of sports in Sacramento. I'm talking, when this is announced, it'll be on ESPN. It'll be on all the talk shows, MLB Network, mm-hmm. everything. You know, it'll put Sacramento in a different light, and we'll see where it goes from there. But this is going to be, you know, all eyes are going to be on Sacramento when this announcement is made.
And even though they're not expected to stay, we'll see. They may not, but even if they don't, 3 years is a long time.
That's a long time, man. And you know, I just, you know, I wonder, and I brought this up, I think it was yesterday or day before, like if you're a fan, how connected do you get to this team that you know is only going to be here for 3 years? Like, you don't pour your heart and soul into it and then they leave, mm-hmm. you know, and it complicates things because of the ownership too.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, then do you become a fan of the Las Vegas A's when they leave or not?
Yeah, it's probably, there's probably already a built-in fan base, you know, because we've always had a lot
of
A's fans in Sacramento. So yeah. there's that aspect to it, of course.
Yeah, yeah. It's and I think, you know, when you look at the A's following, it may not be a lot, but they're very vocal. They're very passionate about their club.
Mm-hmm.
And so I hope, you know, at the end of the day, if it does come to Sacramento, you know, it there will be some support. You know, we've had Jay on here, our producer. I hope he's doing well.
Yeah.
He talked about, you know, the dichotomy of, you know, riding for his city, Sacramento, but also not wanting to support John Fisher. And so, but he admitted he probably would go to the games if they came to Sacramento.
Mm-hmm. To the point you just made, Eric Burns, I know I've talked about him before. Burns, he used to play for the River Cats. Then he went to play for the A's. And he used to come on the station with us all the time, started when he was with the River Cats. He talked about A's fans. He said, A's fans, there aren't as many of them.
Right.
But as far as being loyal and vocal, the ones that are true A's fans, he said, they're as good as any fans in baseball. There just aren't as many of them.
And they deserve so much better than what they're getting right now with John Fisher. I mean, the product on the field, we talked about, I forget the kid's name, who hit 4-something over the weekend, and then they pulled him.
Estuary?
Yeah.
Ruiz,
yeah.
I don't think I said that right.
Sent him down. It's like, dude, what are you talking
about? Estuary Ruiz.
Yeah, exactly. Had a great weekend. And then
429.
He's doing a little too. That's ridiculous, man. What are we doing here? And so A's fans deserve better, no doubt.
Hey, do you want to hear about another ballpark food that someone mentioned? Derek Vercelli says, Whitey, the food I want to try from Arizona Diamondback Stadium, it's called the Broomstick 18-inch corn dog filled with jalapenos and cheese and a bit of fries.
Simone,
in on that? Broomstick, 18-inch corn dog, jalapenos and cheese, a bit of fries?
I'm out.
Out on that, too?
Yes.
What's the one they got at the Mets Stadium now that I just saw? Somebody was hyping that up. The Mets got a new burger or something like that that's supposed to be really impressive. I gotta look this up.
So it's
right
actually
here.
Good, something you'd actually
like,
want to
yeah,
eat?
Yeah. Oh. I was like, man, this actually looks halfway decent. And let's see here. It's the championship burger. Ready for this?
Yeah.
The Mets championship burger.
Okay.
A dry aged beef patty, Maine lobster seafood salad,
whoa,
lobster fondue, charred lemon on fennel brioche bun.
Nah.
What?
You do the
fried charcuterie board or whatever.
Fries.
But he don't want Maine lobster.
I'm going to eat all that when I'm sitting at the ballpark.
Dude, you got to see it. Take
a
look.
So are you ready for your salad now, sir? Oh, that's all in the burger?
Yeah, all on top of the burger.
The lobster on top of the burger patty.
Yeah, it is.
Gross.
Right.
And keep it separate.
It doesn't belong on that burger.
And you're ruining a good burger.
A surf and turf of a nice steak and a lobster tail like that, but I'm not accepting a ground beef dry aged burger topped with lobster salad.
And that looks like
that's awesome.
Like footage from someone's surgery or something.
No, no, this is Dara Revell put, and it's $28.89. That's how much it'll cost you. That's not for lobster and a
burger. I'm surprised it's not a lot more than that.
Yeah, that's a good deal. Like,
so you're going to enjoy that, Drapes?
I would eat that in a sec. Yes.
Wow.
I would eat that in a second. Lobster? So what are you looking at? You guys want...
it's lobster on top of a burger.
You want fried jalapenos. I'm talking fine dining right here. Lobster.
It's like a lobster salad, isn't it? Didn't you even say...
That's what it said on that. Yeah, that's how they say it. But that doesn't look like lobster salad, though, right there.
I mean, are you seeing a claw? Yeah. Are we
like
seeing
an
actual defined... Because,
Hold
if it's shredded... Okay, I see definition.
That looks better than the other picture.
Right. The first picture I showed you was a little sketchy, but
you know, I know a guy that used to work at a place where they sold, you know, crabs and things, and they would have these big crabs, and he said, I'm so embarrassed that I did this. I wish I hadn't done this. So someone would buy the crab, like the biggest crab, and they'd weigh it. You know, and it's, oh, man, that's going to be this much. That's a big crab. Then he'd say, all right, I'll go clean it up for you. They would go in the back, and they'd already give him a different crab that was cut up. And then the big one they would keep and then sell it again.
Still charge him at that price, though?
And then he said, we used to see how many times we could sell the big crab.
He admitted to that?
And I wish I hadn't done that.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that's pretty low. That's low right there. Isn't that you get arrested for that, right?
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
What is that called again? That burger? Championship?
Yeah, I don't
burger?
Know why they call it the championship. We're talking about the Mets here.
Yeah.
That's like out in the wild card round burger.
Right, that's what I'm saying. The wild card burger. Yeah, I don't know why they call it the championship burger. It's funny.
Oh, you said somebody had a good suggestion for your slogan for the Kings.
Oh, yeah, that was a pretty good one. Now I got to go back here. Somebody, I got to find it.
Gonna come up with a slogan for us.
Yeah, and this one was really good, and I was like, okay, now, there's no delaying, avoid the playing. My guy, Curtis Hicks, coming up with that. There's no delaying, avoid the playing.
All right.
I like that.
Top of the leaderboard.
Yep, that's up there for sure.
On the text line here from the 530, is the adversity that the Kings are going through what they needed? Is it possible that they were too comfortable, Doug in Grass Valley asks.
Good question, Doug. Well, it's something, you know, the coaching staff has preached about is that they want the adversity. They want the smoke. They don't want everything to be all smooth and hunky-dory and everything like that. They want, you know, some of the peaks and valleys of a season. And so I do believe, you know, they started off this season kind of, as Doug would put it, too comfortable on last year's success, you know. And they thought, oh, maybe we arrived – you know, we repeat, you know, the same formula, it'll work again. And we've seen it. It hasn't been that. So I do think the adversity has helped this team out. What is crazy here, and I keep bringing this up, they have 7 games left to go, Whitey.
That's incredible, by the way. I was talking with Brendan last night. There's only 7 games left.
7 games left. Yeah. If they go 4-3, they equal last year's win total. Think about that. If we said at the beginning of the year, and knowing what we know now, that you just get 48 wins, we'd all sign up for that.
Mm-hmm.
But this has been the most trying, good season for the Kings in so long. Like, it's been up and down. 4-3 is very realistic for this team down the stretch.
Mm-hmm. To me, it's not that the Kings were too comfortable, but they were in some kind of rut.
Mm.
And I think Keon Ellis and the way they're calling the games differently, they've been able to play more physical defense. I think that's kind of, and then just the fact that we got no more Malik now. Hello. Right. What are we going to do? I think they've kind of been shaken out of that rut that they were in.
Yeah, you might be right. And, you know, they sort of stumbled onto something, too, you know, with the Keon Ellis situation. And so I think that's injected some new life into this team.
Injected just like
those donuts.
Donuts,
right? Carry your syringe around with you, you know.
Little plastic syringe. There is one thing, though, about the Kings that concerns me. Tell you what that is when we come right back. Drive.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Act Out Sports. We've been talking about ballpark foods, among other things here, and I don't even know what this is, Drapes. This is on cheapism.com.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what this is. I just, these supposedly are menu items available at Major League Parks this year. Doesn't that look like the most horrible thing? It's like a burger, whatever is the supposed to be the meat looks kind of gray, and the bun's blue.
Yeah, I don't get that. What is that? That is disgusting.
It just looks horrible.
Now, that milkshake thing next to it looks pretty good, though. That thing on the right there, that's the White Sox.
You can get that at the White Sox game.
Yeah, I like that. Gross.
Dino rib at the Rockies game. There's your championship burger.
Oh, there
right
it is, right there. Mets championship burger.
Yeah.
You'll be living large if you grab this show-stopping burger at a Mets game. That's what I'm about, living large, Whitey.
Show-stopping.
Look at this show-stopping burger. You get lobster on a burger?
And I know you said this. I didn't get it all when you said it. Creamy Maine lobster seafood salad on top, all coated in a cheesy lobster fondue.
Exactly.
So now you're bringing cheese back into the mix?
Yes.
So now, no.
What's wrong?
Drapes.
What are you, Simone? I got to get you out, man.
Okay.
You're probably the type that likes mac and cheese out of the
box.
You know what I mean? You like Kraft mac and cheese.
I
got to take you to some fine dining one of these days.
Fine dining. I like caviar. I love lobster.
Okay.
I love a nice ribeye. I'm not understanding that medley of flavors.
How about a Renegade hot dog, PNC Park in where the Pirates
Pittsburgh,
play?
Yeah.
12-inch dog topped with shredded beef pot roast, caramelized onions, and mini pierogies.
I'd try that. I would do that. I would. And it got pickles on there too, it looks like, from the picture
up
there?
Yes, sir. Pickle slices.
Yes, I would do that. Yeah, that's a bursting of flavor, cavalcade of flavor right there.
Yeah, I got to find. There's your
campfire milkshake. Sign me up.
Let's see. Campfire milkshake, chocolate shake, topped with graham crackers, chocolate bars, and toasted marshmallows.
Yeah, sign me up.
Love that one. Yeah.
Sign me up. How about this, Whitey, real quick? Remember we were talking about milkshakes yesterday at the arena?
Yeah.
Our boys Scott and Lee, they brought down milkshakes.
He asked me if I wanted one.
Really?
I said, no.
They brought
and I said, I'm
down.
So sorry.
They asked me too. Wait, this is kind of crazy.
Yeah.
I love them.
Yes, they brought some down. And so I had my dinner that brought from my girl Selena and Liz in the back there. And then I washed it down with the milkshake.
What was the milkshake flavor?
Vanilla. I'm a vanilla guy.
I think it was only vanilla and chocolate.
Yeah,
right?
You only get vanilla and chocolate.
Yeah.
I'm a vanilla guy through and through.
I apologize to that guy 50 times because I realized if I hadn't sent anything to you, he or whoever would not have had to go.
He had to go buy like 20 milkshakes.
Yeah.
I wasn't a part of the problem.
It was
I
awesome.
I brought them water, actually.
Did you get a milkshake or no?
No, I declined, and I brought them water for their services.
Unbelievable.
Very helpful.
Here's the burger, the Back to Blue burger.
Okay.
Where the Royals play.
What's that meat there that you're talking
Bright
about?
Bright blue bun to match the team's colors. Bacon, blue cheese, Buffalo style aioli, lettuce, tomato. So it's pretty much a standard Buffalo blue cheeseburger, but just the blue bun that's a pass for me. It's a hard pass.
It looks like it might be good though. Buffalo blue cheese, aioli.
Uh-huh.
Those are my things right there. I like that.
The blue bun is just, it crosses the line for me. I don't know. By the way, did you hear that in Kansas City, there was a tax that both the Royals and the Chiefs said they needed to fund their new stadiums or upgrade their stadiums, and it got destroyed.
Really? I did hear this.
So now both of them are talking about, well, we don't know what we're going to do.
Yes, I did hear about that.
Not anytime soon, but both of them are kind of opening the door to relocate.
Yeah, I can't see it, though. The Chiefs?
Bring the Chiefs here. Bring the A's here.
How about the Royals? We're bringing the Royals.
All right.
I'm just saying from an emotional standpoint, right? Don't bring the blue burger. No, I did see that. That would be, there's no way, right?
There's no way. No way. Apparently, from what I read, it's that people who voted on it, it's not that they're against the stadiums or the teams. It's just part of it was some proposed downtown new area where they feel like, no, that would drive out some pre-existing businesses, and they didn't want to do that. So it wasn't like, we reject the Chiefs and the Royals, but it was just, you know, those political things. You hitch one thing to another, it gets a little involved.
Right, yeah.
But I'll bet you Vivek saw that today.
Right. He's like, oh, yeah. Might be a possibility,
yeah.
Right?
Drapes, I got to be honest with you. Here's what worries me about the Kings.
Yeah, let's hear this.
We've talked a lot about how, boy, down the stretch, you need everything you got from De'Aaron Fox, and he's not shooting the ball real well, and it concerns me a little bit. And I'm not picking on him, and I don't mean to be overly critical, but he's not shooting the ball well.
What are you talking? When you say shooting, are you just talking from three or overall? What are you
And overall, I mean, he's getting to the basket, and he's got, you know, he's a master of spinning the ball off the glass, but his jump shot is just not falling right now. And he's had some really poor shooting games lately. Maybe he's hurt. I don't know. I know he wants to win. I'm not suggesting there's any, you know, that he's not doing that he should be doing, but kind of need the best player to be knocking down shots right now.
Yeah, but, you know, and I'm with you. I'm looking at the splits right now from month to month, and we talked a little bit about this yesterday. You know, December, he was shooting 47.8% from the field, 43.7% from three. January, it started to dip down. February, 48.7% from the field, but 32.4%. March, 44%, 34.2%. I get it, Whitey. The numbers are coming down. 6 of 20, I believe it was, last night.
One of seven.
I look at it, and I was watching De'Aaron, obviously, yesterday. I'm not liking the type of threes he's taking. You know, it seems to be kind of too rushed at times, and you know, he was playing at an all NBA level back in December when he was knocking down those threes. We were like, oh my gosh, this guy's looking like Steph Curry out there. And he's sort of come back down to earth since for the season, just 36% from three. Solid, respectable, but, you know, it's not anywhere close to, you know, being in the upper echelons of the
36
NBA.
36 is fine unless you started at over 40. That means
That means you're coming down. But let me ask you this then. If you want to get like that, you know, how about his free throw shooting? Can we give him some love on that? I got the numbers right here. Let's talk about his free throw shooting. For the month of March, 15 games, 84.8% from the free throw line.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you know, the 3 points going down, but he's knocking down his free throws.
Don't you think if a guy can make free throws at a high rate, he should be a good shooter?
Right, or vice versa, right? If you're a good 3-point shooter, you should be able to knock down threes. And, I agree with you on that. And I don't know, you know, who was it that we were talking about? Me and Katie was thinking about this yesterday, I think. You know, how it's, you know, somebody's a great shooter, you know, but can't knock down free throws. I forget who it was, but you would think those would translate, right? Mm-hmm. Correlate. I don't know about De'Aaron Fox, though, because when I'm
just worried because I know they're going to need everything he's got.
Well, I need to look at his shot profile. To me, that's the biggest thing. Like, if he's taking 7-8 threes a game and only shooting 32%, De'Aaron Fox's bread and butter is either in the paint or that elbow extended jumper. I would like to see him shoot more of those, get back to that, how he was last year, instead of relying on the three ball so much that he's been doing this season. I mean, when you look at his numbers this season, you know, and I know he started off great from three-point range, 7.6 three-point attempts per game for De'Aaron Fox. Last season, he was only shooting five threes per game. And you talk about his efficiency. Last year, he shot 51.2% from the field. That's impressive at that position. If he can get back to that, I see what you mean. If he can get back to that, but I think it's the type of shots that he's taken, that's why he's not as efficient.
I did notice last night that, you know, when he was playing off the ball a little bit more, like Davion bring the ball up. And I think you and I both said we're not sure about him playing off the ball.
Yeah. Did we notice anything with that, though? Did it look better or look worse? I don't know.
It doesn't matter because, you know, and then he ends up with the ball on the weak side and then he does his thing.
Right, so right.
I think it just gives your offense a little more diversity before it gets to him.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, you could talk about Steph Curry. You know, he plays off the ball a lot, too. You know, and so
he never stops moving.
Right. That's the thing. Like, if you can get De'Aaron on the run, mm-hmm. a catch and run, mm-hmm. he's going to be hard to stop. And maybe that's what they're trying to do with that. But like I said before, I think his shot profile needs to be better. Mm-hmm. I like the little mid-range De'Aaron Fox and getting to the paint De'Aaron Fox better.
So you think, in a way, he's almost forcing some of the threes? Like, don't need to take as many?
Right. He doesn't need to, but he has the confidence in his three-point shot, especially when he saw what he did in December. And so I think he's trying to trust the work that he's put in with Luke Lauks and Steph Curry this offseason. And so, you know, 7.6 is a lot. Remember, he was up around 9 earlier this season.
Yeah, I remember saying probably January that, look, where the Kings are right now, if they don't make a ton of threes, they have a hard time winning a game.
Yeah.
Well, last night, they were 12 for 42.
Right.
And they won easily.
A different Kings team,
It's
not the same. You know, they don't have to put up 120 anymore. They don't have to hit 15 threes. And, you know, and that's Mike Brown talking about playoff basketball. Mm-hmm. You can win in different ways. And it's something we've been begging this team to do all season long, and it's finally coming.
Mm-hmm. Did you see last night on... Well, you saw it, obviously, in the game. Domas knocking down a 15-footer.
Right.
It's funny because Chris Watkins and I were talking about that before the game. And then so when he made that, and we were, you know, pretty far apart on press row. But when he made it, I looked over Chris, and Chris looked over at me. He's like, yes, how about more of that, right?
And the thing is, and I brought it up with Katie during the game, it wasn't just that he knocked down a 15-footer. He was very decisive when he got the ball. Like, he didn't hold on, look around, and then all of a sudden, it was a quick shot. And then he did another move earlier than that, working on Zubats on the left block there. He caught it and immediately spun. That's what we talked about. He has to be quicker with some of his moves, you know? You can't always drive 55 miles an hour. Change it up a little bit, you know? And so I thought he did a good job of that last night.
That's a great point. I remember Jerry Reynolds talking about that going back to last year when the first possession in the playoff series against the Warriors, he gets the ball and was it Looney, I think.
Yeah.
And Looney's like 10 feet off.
Yeah,
and you can see he's like, well, now what have I done?
Now, right.
You know, and that would happen in the series. Get the ball and look. And, well, now what am I supposed to do?
Let that thing
whatever
fly.
You do, like you said, whether it's going to be letting it fly or drive in.
Do something.
Yeah, do it quick.
Right, do it quickly. And he did that a little bit. I need to find out if it's something that the coaches have talked to him about because I was impressed with that last night. It was only a couple of instances, but I said that's what he needs to do more of.
Mm-hmm. He nearly had that triple-double last night, but it's interesting you pointed out earlier that the Kings went on one of their runs when he was not even on the floor.
Not even on the floor. The second quarter was huge. And I just like the energy that the bench did. And I remarked during the game, Mike Brown's letting these guys rock, you know? Mm-hmm. Usually he comes back to Domas a little earlier in that second quarter. I think he came back to him in like 7-minute mark of the second. And that's because Alex Lynn was playing at such a high level. Trey Lyles. And so I was impressed by that. And there was a stretch when both he and De'Aaron Fox were on the bench into the third, beginning of the fourth, I think it was, and they still maintained the lead and played well.
Meanwhile, we have an idea here what Brandon Ayuk's contract may look like with the 49ers. You're a big Ayuk guy, right?
That's my guy.
Yeah, and it's too bad Jay's not here today, and we hope Jay's feeling better. We're happy to have Simone, but Jay's been out a while, and because I know he hasn't been too excited about paying Ayuk a lot of money, but what an Ayuk deal with the Niners may look like. Is he worth it? That's next year with the Drive Guys.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
On Sacktown Sports.
It's sloppy right now.
Your afternoon home for Kings Talk and so much more. The Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports.
That call was all right, about a six.
It was solid. All right, Trey Lyles over
it
here.
It was great. Hell,
Trey Lyles
was great. Yeah. The dunk was very good. The call was better than the dunk.
Oh, all right. I'll take that.
You know
I'll
that. Take you don't that. Need no, me to I'll tell take you that. That was a great man. Call.
Thank you. Spur the moment thing, you know? It's just say whatever comes to your mind, long as, you know, it. FCC uh-huh. approved.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, sometimes it sticks, sometimes it doesn't. You know?
I've a couple times I've been fortunate enough to be in front of like big crowds. I mean, like presenting stuff after a show. I remember one time Van Halen, they had a show and then they had their encore. And before the encore, we got to go out on stage and give Sammy Hagar a birthday card or something. But my point is you could feel the energy.
Yeah.
I had nothing to do with it. My question is, when you're doing games sometimes, is there a different energy depending on how the crowd is that you can't really anticipate, and it's almost like a wave that you kind of step into.
Yeah.
You can't dictate it, but you have to kind of adapt what you're doing to reflect that energy.
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, it's different at home versus on the road even. And I'll tell you something that's even crazier. Every game, the audio sounds different in my ear, believe it or not. Home, road, whatever. Yeah. And so... I like a lot of crowd noise pumped in to my ear because I feed off the crowd noise. And so it just depends. Like last night, that crowd was on fire. They were fired up. And so I had to match that energy. That was, you know, my thought. But then there's been another time, like a game, where were we at? Atlanta, I think it was, where the Hawks were playing well, but it's still Houston early in the season. And like, the Rockets were playing great, but their crowd was still sitting on their hands. It's like that impacts a broadcaster. Like you still got to bring the energy. It's hard. Golden One, they do a fantastic job, though, that crowd and pumping it in. I can feel it and feed off that energy.
What other arenas? Golden One is above and beyond. Yeah. What other arenas have the most consistently the best energy?
Best energy. Obviously, the team we're watching now, Boston, they bring it. They bring it. Usually we're on the short end of that, you know, from a broadcast. Like when I go back with the Kings, I've been back twice now.
I don't know if this is fair, but I'd want to ask you if you could compare Chase to Rorikl. And I don't know if you did enough games.
Yeah, I don't think I ever did play-by-play at Rorikl. I did sideline reporting. Definitely different, though.
Yeah.
Rorikl was just – it was great. And I remember, you know – when the Celtics used to come in there, those were big games back then. And, you know, it's a different crowd now. Mm-hmm. Even courtside, it's a different crowd. The setup of the arena, you know, they got those suites like midway through. It's just a weird setup there at Chase right now. And whereas Rorikl, man, from top to bottom, you could feel that place.
I remember one of the Kings games in Arco 2, and I think it was 2000 season. So it was the first round, the Kings playing the Lakers. It was a best of five. And the Kings were down 2-1, game four. And they won the game on a Thursday to send it back to L.A. where they would lose. Mm-hmm. But that was the loudest I've ever heard in an arena. And I remember I was with Lonnie, our oldest daughter. Mm-hmm. And we were, you know, sitting next to each other. So we were closer than you and I. No chance could hear.
Really?
There's no chance. I remember talking to some of the players. They said, yeah, that was... And I know maybe there have been games that were louder, but to me, that was the loudest I ever heard in an arena. It's like if someone next to you had something to say, you had no chance to hear them.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole game.
It reminds me of Golden One, that first playoff game.
Yeah.
Kings ran out. You know this from being a radio guy. Like, when white noise comes into your ear, that's when you know it's really loud. That's what happened during that Kings game. The squad ran on, and it just was like, shh,
yeah,
like you just
white out time.
Yeah. And it was like, oh my gosh, I've never heard an arena that loud. And so I get it, man. It's that's why I'm excited for this year's playoffs, man. Top five seed for the Sacramento Kings.
Uh-huh.
I'm thinking we're going to be – did you see, if we do get the five, the Clippers are pretty much the four seed. Like, the Clippers are pretty much going to hold on to that. And are we okay with that matchup?
Yes. Ooh.
Oh, he says yes. Okay. All right. Bring it on.
They just looked lifeless last night. Yeah. And soulless.
Yeah. But no Kawhi Leonard, during and after the game. No Kawhi,
Maybe that's why they were so lifeless. Maybe they're worried about Kawhi now. All of a sudden, it's like, you know, just think, if you're a Clipper fan, Kawhi's knee is hurting. No.
Right, right. Yeah. It could be going downhill for them. You know, I would like five or six. I might even be more open to six and have to play, let's say, Minnesota or OKC, because I think Denver is going to capture the one seed.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wouldn't mind the sixth spot.
So what'd you say? No delaying, stay out of the play-in? Or no, that wasn't it.
No, it was something like that. Ain't no delaying, skip the play-in or something like that. Yeah. That wasn't mine, though. That was, I think it was my guy Curtis Hicks on the YouTube chat. Yeah.
Thanks for all the participation today. By the way, earlier I mentioned, you know, Jerry West in the Hall of Fame three times. Yeah, how about that? Yeah. I didn't mention Vince Carter, Chauncey Billups.
How about that?
From the Basketball Hall of Fame.
Former King. Vince Carter. Is he going to go in as a king, maybe?
Of course he is.
Yeah, that's huge news, man. I tell you what, that's when you know you're old, you know, when guys you watched, you know, I was an adult when they were playing, and now they're, you know.
Right.
It's like, man, these aren't even childhood heroes. These are guys that are, you know, has come and gone. Mm-hmm. It's well-deserved for both of them.
Uh-huh.
Well
Vince deserved. Carter was a rookie the same year as Jason Williams.
Really?
Yeah, I think he beat out Jay Will for rookie of the year in 99.
That was that lockout shortened year,
yes,
right?
Sir.
Paul Pierce that year, too, I believe. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah, and then Vince Kennedy played a long. And that was great, right? Because it was like, what about your legacies? No, I just want to play.
He just like hooping.
And he apparently could have gone to the Warriors and maybe gotten a ring, and he's like, nah. I'm not going to play there, so I want to play. So I believe that's when he came here.
Okay.
And he could have gone to the Warriors, but he's like, well, I'm not going to play there. I want
to
play.
He wants to play. Yeah. That's impressive.
Uh-huh.
Vince Carter, to me, still the best dunker of all time. I think Vince Carter is the greatest dunker of all time.
If only we could have heard Kyle Draper calling a
Vince
Carter
dunk. Can you imagine
that?
Oh, my gosh. That would be awesome, man. Better than Dominique, though? Better than Dominique, you know, and I love Dominique. Dominique's my guy. You know that. Dominique, Simone, mark it down. I don't know if my guy, Dominique, is listed on there, but Dominique's my guy. But I think Vince Carter, I think Vince is just, he's
graceful
with it.
Because of what he did to that poor French guy?
Yeah.
Frederick Weiss.
Yes. He leaped over a guy. Vince Carter's the guy.
I wish that we could have seen more of David Thompson.
Yeah,
called him the Skywalker. Apparently, he could just, I mean, I remember him a little bit, but you know, now everything is on TV. It's great.
David Thompson, Dr. Duncanstein, Daryl Griffith.
Yeah.
You know, Kenny Skywalker, too. You know, you're right.
Chauncey Billups, 2004 NBA Finals MVP, led the Pistons to that 4-1 victory over the Lakers.
Yeah.
You know, it was Kobe and Shaq and Gary Payton and Karl Malone. And they lost. And one of the things people say about that Pistons team is they didn't really have any superstars. I mean, I guess they had Chauncey Billups.
Yeah.
They had Rasheed Wallace, Richard Hamilton.
They had maybe not superstars, but they had a bunch of all-stars, that's for sure. Right?
Yeah.
They had some all-NBA guys. And you're right. It wasn't like just, Joe Schmo from down the block, you know, a pickup game at the local Y or anything. Like, these guys were very, very good basketball players.
Yeah, and Chauncey was MVP of the finals that year. 21 points, 5 assists, shot 47.1% from the three-point line in that series.
Wow. Mr. Big Shot himself.
Yeah.
Shout out to Chauncey.
He's a guy that, well, just speaking for myself, I don't know that I would have recognized without looking it up how great a career he had.
Who, Chauncey?
Yeah. You know what I mean?
I know him from the Pistons days, his early Celtics days as well. I need to look him up as well, because when you think of Hall of Famer, it's like, wow, is he? But he's had a great career.
The highlights, like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. When we come back, as promised, we'll look at Brandon Ayuk's potential new deal. And we have a very easy edition of who to root for tonight.
Okay.
That's next with the Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Parts. All right, Kyle Draper, you're a big Brandon Ayuk guy, right?
Yes, yes.
We know that there's some question as to whether the 49ers will come to an agreement with Brandon Ayuk. It sounds like the Niners want him. It sounds like everything is on the right track, but we will see. David Lombardi in The Athletic says this is what a new deal would probably look like. So again, this is a writer, but it's a very well-educated writer. It's not just numbers out of thin air here. He says a new deal would be something like $128.5 million over 5 years, which would be $25.7 million a year. Of course, the big deal in the NFL is the guarantee, $52.3 million guaranteed, which would be close to what the Dolphins gave
Tyreek Hill.
Yeah, yeah.
Let me ask you this, though, as we talk about this, because I got the wide receiver salary rankings here.
Yeah.
You tell me where Ayuk fits. Tell me a player Ayuk is better than. I'm going to just go down the list. And Tyreek Hill, $30 million, his average. Davante Adams.
I would take Ayuk over Davante Adams.
Devontae's getting 28.
Uh-huh.
Cooper Kupp.
Yes. These are all fine
Ayuk
receivers.
Better than,
yeah,
okay.
I would take. When I say yes, I would take him over.
A.J. Brown.
Yeah.
Stephon Diggs.
Yes. By the way, traded today.
Yeah, traded today. Yeah, yeah, going to Houston.
For like a second and a fourth and a pretty good draft package. Yeah.
D.K. Metcalf.
Yes. Ooh. Different type of receiver.
Ayuk's better than?
Yeah. And again, I'm talking about
you got Ayuk like the second best wide receiver in the league.
If I'm the 49ers, he's invaluable to me.
Okay, so.
And really, maybe Jefferson might be the only guy I'd name. And I know I said Tyreek Hill.
Yeah, you said, not even Tyreek. Come on, man.
If I'm the 49ers, that's how much he's worth to me.
Man, I tell you what, Justin Jefferson, he must be on the, how come they don't have him on this list here?
And I think he's got a new deal coming up.
Yeah,
some
maybe
GMs
that's why.
Some GMs are saying the 49ers, because we don't know.
We don't know who had his deal.
Some GMs are saying the 49ers better take care of Ayuk before
Justin Jefferson sets the market.
Because then, you're going to have to give him more.
So, Debo, is he better than Debo?
Yeah.
Debo's at 23.85.
25.7, if I get him for that.
You're okay. That's the market. Good thing we don't have Jay in here, because Jay would be losing his freaking mind right now.
But remember, Jay also had to concede once the cap went up. He said, they're probably going to
I mean, you had him behind Tyreek and
Did
Justin
Did you not
Jefferson.
Like her playing that?
No, it's the offseason. We don't play that in the offseason. Like, why do we play that? It's the offseason. You don't need
There's
to play
no
that.
There's no offseason anymore.
And why are we, proud to be playing Bang Bang Niner game? They lost the Super Bowl. Like, this is one of those things where you stick your tail between your legs and come out next season. It's like Groundhog Day.
Super Bowl. You know all about
exactly.
that 2 years ago.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And you guys gave me mess for that, So
I didn't even know you then.
But, wow, Ayuk is about to get paid. Mm-hmm. That's interesting. That's he's my guy. I think he's deserving of it. And he's so instrumental, too. Like, I think he is in a position of strength here. Like, they need him.
Yeah.
Outside of him, sure, you got Debo, but that wide receiving core is not that strong, in my opinion.
Yeah, when you look at things like his yard per catch and things like that. Yeah. Now, I don't mean to speak for Jay, who's not here, and hopefully he's feeling better, but I believe one of the things Jay has said is, well, he's not a big-time playmaker. But, you know, you have so many playmakers in that offense already.
Yeah.
And Purdy and he have a connection, although it's funny. I don't know if you guys may have played it. There's the Chad Ochocinco. He's not Chad Ochocinco anymore, but that podcast that he's on, and he was talking to Ayuk about playing the last game of the regular season last year without Purdy, and Ayuk said, what's his name didn't play? And he was from Purdy.
He said, what's his name? Yeah, I'll see if I can find it.
But then he was mad because that affected his yards per game and yards per catch because he had to play with Darnold. So he was not happy about
He wasn't
that.
Happy. Yeah that impacted his numbers.
Yes, exactly. Okay. All right. Exactly. All
right. Yeah, I mean, it's
but he's in the driver's seat. I'm with you.
Yeah, he's in the driver's seat, and I think they need him. And if you could get him, like we said, at 25.7 or whatever it was.
That's a guess from Lombardi. Guess, but yeah, that's about right.
I think that's where he fits in. Mm-hmm. You know, when we just went down the list, you know, like I said, that's less than Cooper Kupp. That's less than Devontae, less than Tyreek. It's going to be less than Jefferson. And so, no, he slots in right under that.
The question is, could you trade him and then get, you know, pretty good package back? Look at what Diggs got, and Diggs is older. And then it's supposed to be a receiver-rich draft. I mean, to me, that's where you're just outsmarting
yourself. Yeah, right, exactly.
That's like what they did with DeForest Buckner.
Yeah, it'd be different if Ayuk was older. Like, he's not even hitting his prime yet. Like, whoever you draft, you hope they're as good as Brandon Ayuk. Yeah. You already got a guy.
And so the other thing that we don't look at with wide receivers that makes him a great fit for this offense, he's a good blocker.
Blocker, yes.
And in Shanahan's offense, you have to be a good blocker.
Right. And how many, and I don't know the answer to this question, but how many of these young wide receivers are actually asked to block at the college level? And so, yeah, I mean, Ayuk's 26 years old. Come on, man. He just turned 26. Local product, obviously, Rockland. And so, no, they got to re-sign him. Yeah. That would be a massive loss.
That's how I knew that there was no chance when Antonio Brown was still a player that some teams wanted. There's no chance he would come to the 49ers because the story from Matt Maiocca was that years ago, when I think it was when he first left Pittsburgh, so I was like, this is an elite receiver.
Yeah, elite.
And the 49ers did their due diligence on him, and apparently he went to the Steeler coaches one day, and it was before a big game against Cincinnati, and he told them, hey, just so you guys know, I'm not blocking today.
Oh,
so,
shoot.
When the 49ers found that out, I'm sure there's a
We're out on that guy. Yeah, and probably a good move, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's going off the deep end a little bit.
Yeah. Help us out here, Drapes. This should be an easy one tonight, but who do we root for? Things get complicated this time of year with the standings being what they are in the West. So tonight, if you're a Kings fan, who do you root for? I think this is easy. Orlando and the Pelicans.
Ah, Orlando, yes. We're all Magic fans tonight. That's an easy one. Think about it. You, the Pelicans lose tonight. You win tomorrow, hopefully. Then you're right there. You got the same record. You guys are tied. But they have the tiebreaker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
According to NBA.com, 6:10 left in the first half, and we're tied at 38 at the Smoothie King.
All right. Ooh, it's in New Orleans. Oh,
yes. And then tonight, ESPN, the Cleveland Cavaliers visit the Phoenix Suns.
Yeah,
big game.
Big game. We need Cleveland to come through. How about the schedule where this late in the season, you're going against Eastern Conference opponents, right? Mm-hmm. That's kind of wonky.
It is.
Kind of weird, I think, you know.
It's unfortunate.
Unfortunate, right? Like, but I'm watching Lakers, Washington. We're rooting for Washington. Not going to happen, though. It looks like the Lakers probably get this win, even though there's still a quarter left. But a lot of games with impacts on us tonight. But you're right, man. That Pelicans game, man, I wish the Mavericks would lose one more game, Dallas. Just one more game, because that's the team I'm really eyeing. Right now, the Mavericks, I'm looking at the conference record.
Mavericks are one game up on the Kings in the all-important win column.
Cloud, who is that, Javier? Like, you know, when you look at the standings, Mavericks are up in the win cut, dude. Nobody ever talks about win column when it comes to standings. But I will say, I'm looking at their conference record. Right now, the Kings have a half-game lead in the conference record, which would be the tiebreaker that would be used. So we're in good shape right now.
Yeah, still some pizza left in that box. But, yes, and then if Cleveland helps you out tonight, Then you're looking, you got a little bit of a cushion over Phoenix going into this brutal, potentially brutal Eastern swing.
Brutal Eastern swing. And, you know, you got four games. If we can go 2-2, I take 2-2. As long as you come back home and beat the Pelicans and Suns. I feel very good about having three games at home to really maybe control your own destiny as you've pushed for the play-in, playoffs.
Yeah. So this quite a test for the Kings. A test of their newfound identity tomorrow.
Yes, this will be fun to talk about. And, you know, because it was a rock fight the last time the Knicks played. And Katie, I remember during the call for that.
She likes those games, doesn't she?
She likes those games, but she thought it was the worst officiated game of the year because the Knicks got away with so much. We'll see how it's officiated tomorrow and see if our guys, you know, put on their gear and strap up and get ready for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Want to thank Simone for filling in.
Thank you, Simone.
Today. Yeah, appreciate that.
You guys.
Yeah, thank you for telling us about the championship lobster burger.
Yeah. If I go to New York, I'm getting one of those bad boys for sure.
And thank you for being with us. We're back with you tomorrow. Have a pleasant evening, and thanks for listening to The Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.